Session number 26589, Hugh Grant Dalton, Reel 4.
To say something about your second trip to Berlin. You pointed to something on the...
second trip?
Something over here you referred to.
Oh yes, I'd referred to the reunion. The four of us from the village were out that night. We'd only just heard about it comparatively recently.
So this is a copy of the West Country News.
Western Morning News.
Western Morning News of November the 29th, 2002.
Yeah. And bombing heroes share uncanny link in village. Typical local paper headline.
So three members of Limpstone Village flew to Berlin on the same night.
Yeah.
And you only met and knew about it 18 months ago.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah.
November.
Well, two of us were on Langs and the other flew was on Halifax.
Well, we'll come back to that possibly. Mm. So you do your six trips to Berlin.
I do one, two, three, four.
But these are quite spaced out, aren't they? Because you don't go out every night. Would that be right?
Well, to start off with, I went out every night. The 18th, 22nd, 23rd and 26th of November and the 2nd of December and the 3rd of December. That was to Leipzig. Now, the point about that one is that on that night, I collided with another Lank on the way to the target. We were just north of Hanover. We were running ahead of time. We knew we didn't want to be early over the target, and we did the standard practice of doing a dog leg. So we turned off right to do a bit of time and then come back again. That was the idea. Anyway, we were still on the dog leg, and I saw out of the right-hand side bullets. Another aircraft, so I yanked the stick back as hard as I could. We just scraped over the top. Now, my H2S blister, which shows up on the length of the
pictures, yes,
hit the top of his fin.
So you almost got away with it.
We went on to the target. He went back to base. He came from Bimbrook, from 420 or 460, I forget me. But unfortunately, we were going to meet up after that. So I see my navigator's report. And they went on their next trip. They were lost. Made a bit of a hole in the bottom. I gather it was rather draughty.
What, in the bottom of your aircraft?
The bottom of my aircraft. We went on to Leipzig and bombed.
Without H2S?
Without H2S.
Now, Leipzig's a long way, and that would have been much further than the G would have been able to transmit. Would
G
that be right?
G only went as far as the Dutch coast, if you're lucky.
Didn't
because
even,
of jamming.
Didn't penetrate Germany at all, then?
Right. Because of jamming.
So without H2S, you were back to the old-fashioned way of finding Leipzig?
Yeah. Well, for following pathfinders, our target indicators, as normal.
When you return, as soon as you've finished at Leipzig, you finished your bombing run and you turn, do you have other pathfinders dropping aerial flares to guide you back out of Germany?
No, so, not usually.
So you now were on your own? Mm. Without any H2S.
Yeah. We were a bit wary, actually, about using H2S. There's also what was known as fish bomb, which is... you ever met that?
I've heard of it. Can you tell? I know what H2S is and something called Monica, but what is fish pond?
Fish bomb was supposed to show up the aircraft underneath, try and pick up night fighters. But on the other hand, they used to hurt Monica. When I got to the squad, as far as Monica's concerned, Monica was going out when I got there.
Can you describe Monica?
No.
But you could describe Fishpond, which was a downward-pointing radar.
Well, they were using the same same scanner as the H2S.
Yes, but it was a downward-pointing radar, which the night fighters could detect the same wavelength, use the same wavelength, and therefore find it. So Monica was already being withdrawn from service. Would that be right?
As far as I know, yes, what I can remember. I think it was just a case of they picked up Monica somehow or other picked up an aircraft behind you and flashed a light or a buzzer or something. You could act on that.
Right.
As far as I can remember, but it's something I don't remember using.
And the German night fighters could not pick up the H2S?
Well, they could pick up both, actually, if you had both on, the H2S on.
How often was H2S used then during the flight? Was it just switched on and off in short periods, or...?
I think, actually, as far as this is concerned, it's before I started... Our crew were able to use H2S, yes, those up to Leipzig, certainly. Like entries here at the end of December, why cross-country, which is when we were learning to use H2S. So that was after Christmas.
So your Berlin and Leipzig operations were without H2S?
Oh, yes. But as far as markers are concerned en route, so sometimes the mainstream used to go out altogether. They drop a marker at some point or other, and it would divide. So one lot, Langsucker, say, go off to Berlin, and the others would go off to Mannheim or somewhere else, who were going down south.
Which would give the defences something to think about.
Yeah. Try and fool the Germans as much as I could. Yes, by December, I think I'd settled down and got B flight going again. I seem to remember it was awfully cold in the office then.
So you had to, as they say, fly a desk as well as as a flight commander, as well as...
Yes. And then, in the middle of December, I was not out on that trip, but then there was a disaster of everybody flying into high ground and landing back at base. You heard about that one?
No, I haven't. Can you...
Oh.
Can you just describe it for me first?
Well, we lost squadron commander to start with. I was up in the tower with station commander, Group Captain Carter, watching the aircraft return from, I think it was Berlin again. Anyway, the clouds were right down very low. The aircraft had great difficulty in getting in. Two of them collided south of the field. It's all right.
That's all right. Do you want me to stop?
Yes. Going to high ground. Two of them have collided south of the field. I remember seeing them burning down there. And just recently, 100th Squadron put a memorial to one of those crews up on the Lincolnshire Wolds. So, we lost flag commander. I became acting flag commander for the first time. That was the second flag,
squadron commander.
Squadron commander. So I became acting squadron commander for a week or two. It was the first, when I joined the 100th day, there was a Wing Commander McIntyre was just finishing his tour. Health that took over. As I say, we lost him on that. I think it was somewhere near Ludford Magna they went in.
So a total of 5 aircraft were lost.
So we lost 4 aircraft.
4 aircraft.
On return. Which was a bit shattering.
And it seems to me, Hugh, that in all this talk of losses and so on, that this the events of this night is more important than perhaps any other night to you.
One of them, yes. I've talked about it in the past and it hasn't upset me, but I don't know.
It could just catch you.
Yep. Catch me unawares. Yes, I went out to Frankfurt, I see, on the 20th of December. Of course, in that period, we were only went out when there was no moon. So you could either take one period you went out early in the evenings when there wasn't a moon and came back before the moon got up, and vice versa. We used to take most of our leave during that period or do training or anything like that.
Just tell me, you had a fortnight as squadron commander. Was that fun? Or just a frightful responsibility with all
doubt? A bit of a responsibility.
all potential downside and no upside.
Yes. Getting the information in the morning, how many crews are needed, or whether the squadron stood down, or if you're going out. First of all, we used to get the fuel there. So we learned that if we're going to Berlin straight there and back, 1,800 gallons. The Lang took 2154. So you take maximum 2154 gallons. So then the bomb load had come through, but we didn't know the target until we went into briefing.
But of course you could, from experience and knowing bomb loads and fuel loads, you could have a jolly good idea of a...
I think most people did. Well, once we started on Berlin, well, I mean, they were all longish trips anyway. Leipzig would have been a similar fuel load. Frankfurt wouldn't have been. I see we went out on the 20th December to Frankfurt. That would have been slightly down, I suppose, depending on routing. 29th of December, Berlin. First of January, Berlin. 3rd of January, Berlin. Landed Middleton St. George, so that must have been formed at the base.
And then the next day you fly on, do you? Do you fly home the next day? Is that how it works?
Usually, yes. I see this is, I don't know what, I haven't got times of takeoff and landing on the, just the total time. You see, one of those Berlins was 8:15 and the next one is 7 hours.
And that would also, wind speeds would have an effect.
Oh yes. Well, talking about wind, of course, there's the famous March 24th, Berlin. Everybody got blown off course. The last major Berlin.
No, I don't know about that. No, tell me, please, about March 24th. Well, this is March... Oh, no, we'll come to it. We'll come to it.
Yes. Yes, Brunswick.
Berlin. Brunswick is early January.
Early January, 14th, 27th, Berlin, 28th, Berlin. I used to have the same crew pretty well all the time, but there were slight variations. Occasionally I'd take a second pilot extra on his first outing to give him some idea of what goes on.
And would it be the case, Hugh, that, of course, as you didn't fly every night, didn't go on every operation that was planned, would your crew fly with another pilot or not?
No.
They'd stay down with you?
Yeah. Well, that was while they were with me, that's right. Unless somebody might have had to go out just as an oddball to fill in. I can't say about that. That's the only possibility. But, yes, I see I've got another somebody down there. Right, Sergeant, let's eat an extra one. Wells West Prime, yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
No, they're all much the same. There's...
Can you read out some of the destinations?
I was just talking about Berlin again. I was talking about cruising.
I'm sorry.
Basically the same crew with one or two slight variations, that's all.
But you're going to be able to provide me with a photocopy of this so that they can...
Yes, sure.
So that people, when they listen to this tape, can see... Yes.
February the 20th... February was a part month, I see. I think they must have had a lot of snow that winter. I do remember there was snow on the runway. I had to get the whole station out to try and clear it. Mind you, that part of the world is cold, isn't it? I expect snow.
Oh, yes.
I think I probably had some leave as well. And then I see on February the 24th I took flight Lieutenant Dickey, that crew.
Yes.
To Schweinfurt.
Bill Banks' crew. Yeah. February the 24th.
February the 24th, Flight Lieutenant Dickey, Sergeant Banks, Sergeant White, Lamb, Massey, Raymond and Bryce. Yes, that's that crew.
And that, but that wouldn't have been the first time you'd taken a...
That's the only time I took a whole crew.
Was it?
On those, yes.
On their first trip?
On their first trip. I don't think I was particularly happy, but I did. But what I do remember about that trip is it's a classic example of bombing short. They started off over the target, you could see it. Everybody's bombing shorter and shorter and shorter all the way. That's what always struck me about that trip.
Did you manage to avoid that by carrying on?
I think we were at the beginning, you see, because I was normally in the first wave. But that's what I seem to remember noticing on that one.
Now, you said that you weren't particularly happy about taking out an entire novice crew.
Well, naturally, you prefer to have your own crew. That's yes. Which is only human nature, isn't it? No, I did it. All part of the job, as they say these days. Yes, about that time, I can't remember what exactly when, somewhere in that month, we lost our squadron commander again, so I became squadron commander twice over for a week or so.
Would the squadron commander be flying as frequently as you?
No.
He would fly even less frequently?
Yes, he stayed on the ground more often than not, and usually the two flight commanders went out.
And did they alternate?
But there's always one senior member of the squadron stayed behind.
Yes.
And the station commander, of course.
So you lost your second squadron commander, who would be a wing commander, I assume?
Yes, Bill... Dilworth was his name. Yes, because he didn't sign that.
And that would be in March?
February, I think it must have been. Because I had a blank spell, you see, apart from anything else. I think that must have been about the time. I think he was... can't remember what the target was. Anyway, I had to go and see his widow.
Oh, you knew that he had been killed as opposed to missing in action?
Well, just he was missing then anyway.
Yes.
I had to go and see his wife, which was a bit painful, of course, a bit difficult.
And were you responsible for writing the letters of condolence to next of kin, or did you not?
I don't remember getting involved in those sort of things.
Did squadron commanders get involved in that sort of thing or not?
They must have done. I think they probably had a standard sort of form of saying it, and the adjutant did most of it. I think it actually said the actual writing and the wording. He just signed it. I think that's what happened.
Would it be unusual to go and see the widow of a lost air crew?
Well, she was living nearby, you see.
Right.
In that case, otherwise I don't think so, not particularly. I seem to remember at the time I was saying, well, lots of people get out, and everybody, there's every chance. What else could I say?
But unfortunately that was not the case,
although
as it turned out. Mm.
Yes, I can't remember which trip he went down to start. But what was during that period, February of 44.
Right.
So while I was on the squadron, we had four squadron commanders. Two of them were lost. One of them, as I say, finished. Began with, and the other one carried on to the end of the war. I think he's still squadron commander by the very end. Wing Commander Patterson.
Of course, you're not doing yourself justice because you were squadron commander twice.
Well, acting.
How long were you the second time? Another couple of weeks or longer?
Only about a week or so, I think. Replacement was came in. Wing Commander Patterson.
These would all have been professional serving officers, wouldn't they? Some of them have been VR?
I think they were mainly peacetime. They come.
Were they?
I think they were. Probably, I don't know.
Well, now we're reaching March.
March of 44. I missed Nuremberg.
I was going to ask.
But that is where we come to this effort. We went to Stuttgart on the 15th of March. And on the way back, we got badly shot up.
And you're now showing me some...
Yeah. Almost over Strasbourg. We were caught by a night fighter shooting up from underneath. Schrager music, they call it, don't they?
Yes, piano music. And I'm looking at two pictures of your Lancaster. And on the port side, behind the engines, the aerolons have been shot away and part of the wing.
In actual fact...
Is that right? Yeah,
that's above the flaps.
Right.
That area is above the flaps. The aileron was clear.
The aileron is just clear.
Yeah. Those rods show the angle at which the shells came in.
Yes.
But behind this engine, we had a small fire.
That's the port outer engine. You had a small fire.
The port outer. It feathered that engine. Didn't press the fire extinguisher. Fortunately, the fire went out. Mind you, all this time we were doing a full corkscrew. And I remember telling my crew to put their parachutes on. Same time, the navigator said, I'll give you a course for Switzerland. But I remember replying that if we can get as far as Switzerland, we can get home, which we did.
The night fighter, meanwhile, you'd have shaken him off.
Well, he'd gone. He'd done his bit. Look for another victim. I don't think it was all that dark, as far as I can remember. That's another angle on it.
Yes, quite a bit of damage.
Yes. Yes, down that wing, and we also down the rear fuselage.
I'm just looking at the tail wheel here, with a great hole immediately behind the tail wheel in the bottom of the fuselage.
You can see some of the ammunition for the rear turret hanging out there.
And did you have the 0.5 Brownings or the 303s?
303s.
He did.
Yeah. On the other hand, there's a picture of which I did have a copy, but it did the disappearing trick. It hit the Elson.
Oh, the lavatory.
Yes. So there's quite a strong smell that day. Anyway, we flew back on three engines. We managed to did a flapless landing, I think. Must have been. As I can remember.
That would mean you come in faster.
Yeah. Got the undercarriage down, it stayed down. And it supported us.
If the undercarriage hadn't gone down, would you tell the crew to bail out over the airfield?
No. Do a belly landing.
Right. Safer to do a belly landing with them on board and for them to jump out.
Oh, yeah.
No risk of fire then, or...?
Very small. I mean, if you put it down gently, or put it down by the side of the runway on smooth...
On grass.
You didn't actually put it on the, as I can remember, on the runway.
No, because you'd have to repair the runway afterwards.
You don't want to block the runway unnecessarily.
Was this the only time that you were caught by night fighters?
Yes.
In 59 operations?
Yes. That was the most serious effort.
How many times were you coned by searchlights?
Only the once.
Just Bremen?
I know, I was extremely... I was one of the lucky ones.
You see, this is something, Hugh, that I was with a gentleman earlier this year who did 45 operations, and the war ended before he could finish his final second tour. And he never saw it. He said, I asked him, did you see any night fighters? He said, no, didn't see any night fighters at all. And it does seem that those gentlemen who I'm able to speak to, of course, largely, Bill Banks accepted, yeah, are the ones who didn't see any night fighters, or only perhaps once. Mm. Well, thank you for that.
The other point is that you're talking about the number of trips. From the spring of 1944 onwards, counting the number of ops, a trip over Germany was one trip, one off. But then they started doing all these shorter ones over France, you see, to find bomb sites and whatnot. They were only counters of the third, towards the 30 trip.
And were they as dangerous or not?
No, they were only shorter, you see.
And no night fighters, I assume?
Well, they were either daylight or night, I think. I wasn't involved in any of those. But people talk about doing so many trips and such, right? A lot of those were done in the last year of the war, when in actual fact they only counted as a third.
Yes. This particular gentleman's operations, I think, were over Germany. Mm. But
as I say, operations over Germany, it's fair enough. But ones over France to Boulogne or something like that are...
a different matter.
I'm not quite sure when they were doing their big raids on Caen or something after D-Day. I didn't know about that. But a lot of them were just counted as a third. Listen. Back to March again, 44. The last Berlin raid, March 24th.
Your last Berlin raid, or what
the one? The last major one. This is the one of the big win.
Yes.
We were forecasting fairly strong winds. In actual fact, the winds were twice the speed forecast. More or less in the same direction, strong northwest or northerly wind, blew everybody off course. A lot of people were able to shot the target, Berlin. It looked very spectacular, I must admit. It looked as though we'd done a really good job, fires burning everywhere. But I think a lot of those were missed and overshot. And on the way back, people were running, being blown off course. It was clear night. You could see the flak going up. A lot of people were ending up in the Ruhr, being shot up there. And it was one of those occasions where I was flak reading. You've heard of that term, haven't you?
I have, yes.
See where the flak's going. So you apply an extra lot of drift, so we got back and all right. You could see flak coming up from Magdeburg and Hanover. A lot coming up from the Ruhr. People have gone that way over the Ruhr.
Been blown that way?
Yeah.
And you were being blown, but you were continually course correcting and...
Yes.
And that was as a result of experience?
I put that down partly. Of course, at that stage of the war, they were now navigators were sending back to base wind speeds that they'd been finding. And I think on this occasion, they sent them back, and the result on the ground was, can't be. So they halved the wind speed. So back the wrong wind, which rather exacerbated things. Yes. Then, April the 9th, that's the Gardenia gardening one.
This is your last operation?
Last in Bomaquan. It was quite a bright night, I seem to remember. We dropped our mines from 15,000 feet, high level, with parachutes, obviously, in the Gulf of Danzig. I remember we flew, or some of us anyway, flew over Sweden. You could see the light flak. They put up a good show for the Germans' benefit. When it used to only go up to about 15,000 feet, I think.
And everybody was flying over
everybody
that?
Everybody was at least 20,000. Anyway, they put on a show for the benefit.
And that was your last operation?
That was the last run on the night.